Hey guys, it's Iz.
Hey guys, it's Notch.
Hey, it's Robin.
Hi guys, it's It.
And today we're here with the long-awaited Landon Kirby rant. We've talked about this for months. I feel like we've held it on for months, especially after like 4:13. I think 4:13, we heard it like our moment where we're like, we cannot. We had high hopes toward 4:17 because one of the writers said there was going to be amazing things to come, and it wasn't. The only thing we got was Landon sending people
to,
who
did. To be fair, we have had mini rants, but this is like a full on rant. So yeah, if this is not your thing, if you don't like Landon or rants are not your thing, I suggest don't watch, don't continue, because we have a lot of things to say. Yeah. And Iz will be back. She's just momentarily unavailable, but she will be part of this podcast still. But yeah.
Yeah, we had hope for the last few episodes, and they disappointed us. We kind of see it under the radar with our opinions about it because the show was canceled, and we didn't want to like already rain on the trash writing season. But it's been 4 months now since the finale, and now I feel like every time I think about this season, I just get mad. So we're going to start from season 1 to 4 with Landon. Once again, if you don't want to hear ranting or if you don't want to hear us trash legacies, then please leave. Because I'm not holding back anymore. Y'all writers deserve this hellscape. Okay, season 1, it was moderate. Season 1,
it was actually good.
It was moderate. But once again, it was still an info dump, especially towards like episode 14, 15, whatever, about Malivore. There was nothing to really want besides like we found out about his family. We got some insight about his previous history, but the only thing that we really was worrying about was his trauma with MG killing him, which was swept under the rug a little bit. Like, it was just like...
He was totally fine with it.
Yeah, he was fine with it. Like, MG killed him, went into the car. Caleb gave him a whole conversation. I was like, hey, even though you just killed somebody, you don't need anybody else. I'm with you. And Landon was just like, okay, cool. I got powers. And then he was worrying about how Hope was scared about the relationship. So it literally, once again, I'm going to give a warning. Most of the trauma and most of the problems that Landon has get swept under the rug for Hope every single time. Therefore, whenever I get into a rant and Hope comes upon it, just know that they brought Hope into it unnecessarily. Every problem that Landon has, whether it's trauma, death, abuse, it gets swept under the rug because Hope is more important. And this is the first one right here. Landon literally got killed and it got swept under the rug because he has to worry about how he can prove that he's worth still being with Hope. And then Hope shouldn't be worrying about him dying because he's immortal. And then it gets swept under the rug because Roman got here the next episode. So we had to worry about Landon getting jealous of Roman instead of worrying about the fact that he just died. We're worrying about Landon being jealous of Roman. We're worrying about Landon trying to prove the Hope that he's going to stay. Prove the Hope that why was she mad at him by the knife and Roman is still here. Watch him be jealous. Well, we didn't even have a whole discussion about how does it feel for him to finally have powers when he thought he was just a regular human. We never saw it. And we wasted, three more episodes after 13, thinking that it was going to be touched or maybe season 2. And no, it got worse.
Well, he died and came back to life. And he was more concerned about Hope's feelings because she was having issues over the fact that he died. And she shut him out. Rather than talking to him, she shut him out. Like, he died, and you don't think that maybe he's feeling something too? Instead, you're making him feel insecure about everything. Like,
it happened in 8-2 where she asked him to be her boyfriend, and then episode 9
fucking ghosted him.
And Landon just keeps taking the hit from her. She'll do something, leave, or she'll have some irrational reaction to where his whole like expressions and emotions just get thrown away because Hope, she has to talk about her dad. Hope has to talk about her mom. Hope's whole personality for these 4 seasons is her losing her parents to literally the end of that season. The finale is literally about the closing part. And you would think, well, okay, she lost both parents. But only one was mentioned the whole 4 seasons. Therefore, I'm shocked to why every time something happened with Landon, she always had to do something. Episode 8, Landon literally meets his mom after she pushed him to meet his mom. He forgets about it, and then Hope just moves on his way. Oh, the desire for him to meet his mom doesn't even matter. He just finally belongs there.
Because she's worried it's going to hurt him. Like, it's like she doesn't even, and I love Hope. You guys know, Hope is my number one. But it's like, she's more concerned about her own self. And as like, oh, it's gonna hurt Len, it's gonna hurt Len. Meanwhile, she flipped out at him for lying in the beginning and wouldn't talk to him and treated him like shit. And then she and lies to him and then expects him just to forgive her.
Yeah, it was like a big part of her development, because she was really, really like protective.
Yeah.
And it was a place where she like dominated him, didn't let him like take his own choices.
Yeah.
And then he gets pissed off, rightfully so. He goes for a walk. He's not leaving. He goes for a walk. And the people are like, oh, he's leaving her. He always abandons her. Like, it's so fucking like.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Frustrating.
It's annoying because like when Hope pushed him away in 104 and we got some insight about how he feels. And then the next episode, it was her being bitchy towards him as if she wasn't bitchy towards him in 104. 105, he returns that favor and it's suddenly, oh, why are you getting smart? Or I don't trust you. Or let's do this crystal ball thing. And I'm just like, you've been bitchy with him for like the past two episodes. And then when he returns the favor, it's now that you have to pay the victim? Oh, I can't trust you. Or we got to take a blood test. And I'm just like, okay. He says you're biased. And then you're like, oh, well, why would that be?
As like, I understand him. She has walls up and she doesn't let people get close. Yeah. And I get that. You know, and this is not about Hope's traumas, because she has a shit ton of traumas and she has her own issues that we could go into a rant about too, because we have ranted about the way people have treated Hope, which we probably should do on an episode as well, but this is Landon's episode. Yeah, so we are going to talk about it without bias.
Yeah.
And you know, we love Hope, but this is without bias.
Yeah. And not even, and just moving along Hope, because she will be brought up for the next few seasons. So that's fair warning. But one thing I don't understand as well is, besides Hope, when it came to the Malivore situation, we never got Landon's genuine feelings about Malivore anyways.
No.
Like, he found out that his dad was the infamous villain of the whole Hope story, and that he's the main reason for Hope's downfall. Hope is destroying him. And the fact that he just heard about all this stuff about his dad and why he's the perfect host and all this from Clark. And then he was just like, okay. It's like every time he finds out something, or every time something happens with Landon, something bigger happens to where his thing is minimized. And again, what happened to minimize it in 115 was that, oh, Malivore came and then Hope jumped into Malivore and then Landon forgot everything. So it's like every time you think you're going to get something from Landon, such as emotions, oh, you know, at least some type of something portrayed, it gets swept under the rug. So we had Landon get swept under the rug for his powers. We got Landon swept under the rug from his mom. We got Landon swept under the rug for finding out about his dad and his mom. And then we just skipped to season two. So we already got three things. And those three things will be continuous, such as Malivore, Hope, and his mom will be the next continuing plot line for the next three seasons, which is always done under the rug. The only thing I think is resolved is his mom. And even then, he still don't have trauma. So the main thing is that they don't know how to touch trauma with Landon. They never did, never learned. And it's crazy to me, because you think that these writers wrote The Vampire Diaries, the originals.
But it wasn't these writers. But the same way they don't know how to write grief, they don't know how to write trauma. They don't know how to write, like, the fact that he was burned as a kid and, oh, it's fine. Or he was beaten, it's fine. I'm a fan of most beaters, but no, it's totally fine.
He was drowning himself on season 2. And that's like
season two. I think we're still in season one at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We'll get to that.
Yeah. Season one, they mentioned things. And I feel like they didn't even really care. I feel like it was just a characteristic for plot, because they were mentioning stuff about Landon so he can tell Hope about it, and then it was never touched again.
You know what I find so stupid? And I'm gonna jump into season four for a second, because it parallels this. As the end of season one, she thinks that the only way is to kill him, so that she can do what it is that she needs to do. And then in season four, it's like, well, you need to kill me. There was always another way. Even in the first episode, the first season finale, they're like, there's always another loophole, or there's always a loophole. And yet it's like, she doesn't think about that. And then Landon's the one that gets the short end of the stick with that, because he's the one that gets his neck broken. Oh, well, you know, you're going to wake up, so whatever. I'm just going to wipe the entire existence of me from your mind, because who the fuck cares? You know, like Hope,
The thing is Malivar wasn't even fucking rising. She could have put up some sort of fucking barrier spell, taken Lannan, gone back to the school, and figured out how to do shit properly.
Yeah,
but instead, she was rash and jumped into the fucking Malivar and like was like, okay, that's it. I'm just gonna die. I'm gonna sacrifice myself.
Yeah, they always talk about loopholes in this show, and then there's never a moment where they found loopholes.
It's like they touched upon it briefly with the clown episode where she's like, well, that's not how it was supposed to happen. Well, why the fuck did you not touch on it in the end of season 3 or whatever when she had a stab Lannan? There could have been so many other ways. You had his body. Cleo was working on a spell. Josie was working on a spell. Like it.
She has so many powerful witches in her family line that had spells that were even out of pocket in the originals, and yet they're just having her do these dumbass spells like Asenon.
And Hope is the most powerful witch, and they had fucking Josie using the necromancer spell to get Cleo and Lannan out
or get memories back.
That's season 4. Like I just
okay, season one was quick. We can move on to season 2. Which
he was killing himself over and over again, like Vit said.
Yeah.
I thought
every season I thought that the other season was the worst. Season 2 I thought was the worst between season 3, and so I found season 3 doesn't even exist. And then season 4 overtops it. But season 2, it's funny because Lannan's personality trait is just to be a boyfriend again. And the thing is, what's more funny about this is that Lannan is the same way as he is with Hope, with Josie, and no one cares. Everybody was shipping him and Josie. Some people were shipping it. But when he was with Hope doing the same thing, it was a problem.
Yeah.
He was still getting locked away in barriers. He was still, you know, getting trauma done by everybody else. You rarely hear him talk about his trauma. You know, he had to talk to other people about being the perfect boyfriend to the girl that's so powerful or closed off. And yet Lannan still didn't talk about anything.
Y'all
have a therapist.
Yeah.
They have a therapist that had immaculate notes on Lannan, which is shocking to me because it don't sound like he go to therapy at all. But somehow she has this immaculate information about him.
But in the first episode alone, he sees glimpses of this girl when he dies. He kills himself over and over and over and over again. His best friend's a fucking werewolf, and no one seems to care about that. Josie is like, oh well, my sister self-harms and this is not good for you, all of a sudden Len's like, you know what, you're right, you know what, I don't need any help, I'm cured, thanks Josie.
Yep. 2A was a shit show because Lannan was the most
season 2 was a shit show.
Yeah, Lannan was the most out of character in 2A that I've ever seen in my life.
Was so annoying.
They shifted him to whoever counterpart he could fit.
How he would like found out about Hope and then the next episode making sex with Josie. Literally make sense.
Yeah.
Well, Josie broke someone's arm and made another girl's nose bleed, and Lannan was just like, you know, I think it's my
fault. Maybe it was my fault. Yeah. This doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense because first of all, Lannan spent mostly all summer, and even before that, sad, depressed, isolating himself, going to the Mystic Grill, writing stuff down, and no one seemed to notice that he was isolating himself, right? They just were like, okay, cool. He starts to become friends with Josie, and then, you know, we've seen that he's feeding Ralph, bringing him steaks and stuff, and Josie is like, oh, I guess he don't want you to look for him anymore. And Lannan's like, okay. The same Lannan that wanted to make sure that him and Ralph was at the same school together in season 1. Was okay with Ralph leaving him because he's in wolf form.
Yeah, Josie's just like, Ralph doesn't want to be around you anymore. Lannan's
and Lannan accepted that. And then
when they made Lannan say that she was the most selfless person he ever met. Like that was horrible.
And then you have Lannan killing himself over and over again, mentions that he may have limited resurrections. And then it was never touched again. Like they say, Lannan has, you may have, before Josie's like, you might have limited resurrections, you don't know. And then the next few episodes afterwards, every fucking monster was snapping his neck.
He was dying every damn episode.
Every episode was so annoying. He has limited resurrections. The same Lannan that they mentioned
who
that he Hope, had. Yeah, the same
who Hope got so traumatized.
Yeah, the same Lannan who, to be honest, mentions that he got limited resurrections, but we don't even know what the fuck other powers he gets, because by the end of the season, it will be gone.
They never explore his
powers. Never explained. Like, they never explained how he was created. They never explained how, you know, Sailor was even able to have him. They don't even explain. They rarely even explain Triad. Like, to a sense, Triad's kind of dumb.
They made him fly.
And they give him an wing and call it a day.
Yeah.
They literally do that.
He was a plot device for every other person.
Yeah, he was a plot device. He was a plot device for everybody when it was convenient. And the thing about it is that, like, he had trauma of killing himself and no one mentioned it. Like, Geodude was like, okay, well, you can date me and then your trauma will be over, because he stopped killing himself because he had a girlfriend. He stopped looking for his brother.
Yeah, now Josie's a fucking antidepressant.
He just became Josie's fucking diary. Like, literally at the end of every episode, she would do something with dark magic and she would tell him, and he'll be her reassuring buddy. And then we just got him one have sex next episode because she's the perfect girlfriend.
No, but he didn't even want to have sex. She was forcing him the entire episode. She was like, oh, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. He wasn't ready. And yet she was like making the fucking decision for him.
Yep. He was the same. He was he only was used as a relationship meteor. Like, he literally was only used for that. Him dating Josie and Hope were just the same. And it's like, the only thing he was there was their comforting buddies. He never was developed himself. Everybody else was used as a development. Oh, the development
to the punching bag for everyone. He was a punching bag. He was fucking Connors in the first episode, in the first season.
He was every monster's punching bag. He was
like,
every
monster's punching. He's like the embodiment of a fucking punching bag in this show. He's part of the set design. He wasn't even a character. He was part of the set design.
Literally. And they didn't, you know, since the show's afraid to take risks, the only risk that they could do is have him get killed. So he can be like, oh, is this the last time he's going to come alive? And then it would just have Hope just keep experiencing his trauma over and over again.
You started the show with two abused foster kids, you know, and then what did you do? You treated one like a fucking punching bag and made him everyone's fucking bitch.
And then the other one didn't have a storyline.
You gave the other one a fucking terminal illness, had a fucking monster kill him, bring him back to life, and then you stuck him in a prison world. And then the other one got stuck in, they had the same fate. Roth and Landon had the same fate, only Roth got to choose.
What he wanted to do.
He got to be with his parents. Landon.
He didn't. He's alone with nobody. He's not alone with Ethan. He's alone by himself. Picking on the weight again. Because the constant.
And losing his emotions.
Yep.
His emotions. Because the constant, why the fuck should Landon have emotions?
Yeah. And the constant pattern is that every time you pay attention to it, Landon's a therapist. Landon's a therapist to Hope about her parents. Landon's a therapist about Josie and her magic. Landon's a therapist about Hope and helping him fix the beef between her and Lizzie in season 3. He's the whole one now. He's in season 4 helping his mom get the peace, helping other people get the peace. He becomes a therapist to everyone but himself.
Well, and Landon, Landon doesn't have trauma. He doesn't need therapy.
Landon is so annoying. And he keeps getting killed and he keeps saving the school because he's so annoying and useless. While everybody has literal powers and he haven't saved the school yet.
Like the therapy box episode in season 2. Emma's like, oh, this is group therapy. They have fucking MG there. But Landon is not there.
They had a girl who was introduced one episode before, Jade.
Fucked off with Wendy and
they had her. they threw Wendy away. They had Jade in there for a creepy ass crush when she was literally Josie's babysitter, but hey, who cares, right? Then you have Jade comes in. What does she contribute to Dark Josie? Nothing. Just that Dark Josie was moonwalking in her window at night and kissed her when she was asleep. Which is technically not consensual kiss, but I don't see y'all bitching about it. It just came. It just only mattered when it was Hope and Landon, I guess, right?
Yeah, they put Roth in the therapy box, but they didn't put fucking Landon in the therapy box.
Yeah, they put him in there just to show us that he was killed, which is pretty obvious. But once again, they didn't want to tell us; they wanted to show us. But Landon is in there because he learned how to fly. He learned how to fly, which doesn't matter because he loses it in the next episode. So does it really matter? No, it doesn't. because they wanted to show us off screen. They wanted to tell us off screen, don't show us.
A hero that rises.
Yeah, and okay. dies. Yeah,
okay.
He dies nowhere.
So you have this whole fucking prophecy. There's a part of it about Landon, and you literally take it away from him the next episode. Like, what was the fucking point? What was the point of making him a phoenix and giving him wings and making him fly, and then you fucking take it, and you don't even explain exactly where the fuck his powers went?
They don't explain his powers, but somehow in season four, they can tell the whole encyclopedia about that pumpkin man. Somehow Phoenix is from Malibu, so there's no information about the Phoenix. Alaric has every fucking book in the vocabulary, clearly, because he knew about the monster that fast.
He had a book about fucking Sebastian.
Yeah, but there's no book about Phoenix. But somebody knew that arrow was the weakness. How did they find it out, but not Alaric? And he has a whole school of every monster vocabulary book there is. Then you have Landon, once again, get these powers to lose it, which means that he only was there to save Dorian and be a plot. Because then it was gone.
Yeah.
He lost his powers and it didn't matter. It was like when Landon started to become an equal to Hope, he had to take it away. And it wasn't like they even explained it, because once again he lost his powers and it was just Hope going back through it all over again. Hope,
and it's not even that. After that episode, she fucking avoided him for 5 months.
We were supposed to believe that she wanted to, that therapy box said that she's going to fight for Landon, and then came out and said we're doomed. And we're
makes no sense.
Yeah, and we're supposed to believe that she avoided him for 5 months when Landon couldn't even let her avoid him for one day from between 108 to 109. 109 the next day, or whatever it was, next week, he was talking to Larry about it. You mean to tell me in 5 months he was just sitting there letting Hope distance herself from him because we're doomed? If we're doomed, then just break up with him then, Hope. Why are you sitting him leading him on then if you're doomed? Like, Hope makes no sense if that's the case. 5 months? Because they wanted to be so hyped to do a merge?
Like, why not fucking talk to him? Like, it's so frustrating because Hope
never talked to him about anything until season three, which kills me because none of it is real. The only time that she starts to talk to him about her emotions and how she feels and he gets to her and he understands her is when it's not even him. So we never really see her and Landon get development of themselves and communicating because he's not even there for 2 seasons after this.
They don't even, like, and Alaric fucking treated him like a shield. Like, oh, you know what? You're going to take Sebastian around because I don't trust him.
Yeah. And if he kills literally, him, not that literally, big of a deal. Literally every student is at the school. You couldn't pick other vampires.
Fucking
you
saw pick, it.
You couldn't pick other vampires. You picked Landon, the Phoenix.
Yeah. Sebastian saw it. Sebastian, like, I...
Yeah, like everybody, like Landon was literally just used. Like he was retconned. And yep. they retconned him one last time. So hoping Landon can have the same problem, which was in season one, you're one of the strongest people I know, Landon, to her saying that she's scared that he might just get killed, basically calling him weak. We got retconned from her calling him the strongest man she knows to pretty much the weakest man she knows. Because, hey, we got to have that be the thriving plot for Landon. It's like they didn't know how to write Landon. It was like they didn't know how to write grief.
They don't know how to write fucking memory storylines.
They were too hyped to start Handing that when it came to problems, they kept reconning them, having them have the same argument with just an additional factor. Oh, it was because the mom. Oh, it's because the life. Oh, it's because the vision. Oh, it's because Hope didn't tell him that she knew him. And she kept him from, you know, 106, which everybody got mad at Landon for being mad at Hope because she lied again. See how many times Hope is lying to him and he just keeps accepting it and accepting it and accepting it. And the only time the Landon gets mad of Hope, people start complaining about it. Hope was about to let him live with his, stay with his girl that he don't even really care about genuinely. And Landon got mad and it was just like, oh, Landon's mad because he got his memory back. He should be grateful. Landon can never have any emotion to that. Because to be honest, the only closest emotion we had to him expressing some type of anger or betrayal was in 107. And somehow, Landon got painted as the bad guy for simply wanting to keep some faith from Hope.
Exactly. Well, he got painted as a bad guy because he wanted to leave the school to protect everyone.
Yep.
And then Josie was pissy because he left because he didn't choose her. And then Hope was just like, she was mad, she was disappointed, but I think in a sense Hope did understand that.
Yeah, she did understand
that. But then she still went back on her whole, I need you to protect Lennon because the monsters are still going after him, which again, I understand she sent Lizzie. I get that. But like, the thing is like,
he's never able to express his emotions or anger without being like a villain.
No.
If he walks away, he's toxic. If he talks back to Hope and expresses his feelings, oh, he's toxic.
And he wasn't even going to leave. He was going to fucking kill himself. It was Roth who stopped him from killing himself and making him leave.
Yeah.
It wasn't in his head that he was going to leave. And not only that, he knew about that pencil and about that journal. And he purposely wrote them a note knowing that someone would find it.
Yeah. And let's talk about I feel like we can talk about some more stuff in season two, but I really want to get into season three and four because it's the biggest ones. Let's talk about season two real quick. I mean, it's a big constant theme, but let's talk about how, to be honest, wasn't even really a Lizzie friendship? Was it just straight up bullying?
Was it just bullying?
Because at some point, I was like, cool friendship.
Yeah, they have potential, but like, banter, she always treated him so badly.
Yeah, at some point, banter. But to be honest, she really changed. Because you mean to tell me that one minute she goes from like, you should fight for Landon, Landon are end game, whatever.
Made for each other.
Season two. And then in season four, she looks at Hope straight in the face and says, you never kill anybody you love. She just goes back to like calling him up. And at some point, I'm like, okay, well, it's the banter. But like, girl, how many fucking jokes do you want to say about this man? Like, I always wanted Landon to say something smart back. Because what could she possibly say the way that the man of shit that she called him? She called him Mayo.
He literally saved her life.
Yeah, saved his life. And we never got an apology.
We never got a fucking thank you.
Never got a thank you. She just died, came back to life, and was worrying about planning her fake funeral. I wonder what Landon's doing. Damn, I wonder what Hope's doing. Did she even visit? Did she even know that Hope and Landon was asleep or AKA dead?
Yeah. And then they wanted Hope to go on a tour to see if everyone was okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Don't tell me when we gonna get to season three when she decides to let Hope do a tour mid morning process. Like, be for real. Be serious.
And then she
continuously tried to insert herself about Sebastian into Landon as if that's the same thing.
Please, not her comparing Landon dying with Sebastian. That was so shitty.
Literally. And then only for her to be like, well, Landon doesn't matter. Let's keep him in for an additional month. But hey, they're friends, they're besties, please.
But you could also see how much they cared little for Landon, because Hope was missing when she was in that fucking coma. No one knew except for Alaric and Roth, but they knew about Landon, and yet not one of them, who are supposed to be her best friends, Josie or Lizzie, went to her to be like, you know, I'm really sorry about Landon. Is there anything? Not one of them
Lizzie
was more concerned about her fucking sister.
Yeah. Like, I remember when people got mad, because I said that Hope is really mourning and she's worrying about a freaking smoothie.
Yeah, and Josie is more concerned about, oh, everyone hates me. Big fucking deal.
Right, like, and then she said that it's understandable that she's hated, but then why are you complaining about it?
Exactly.
It's all Hope's fault. It's all Landon's fault. Take fucking accountability for something. Jesus.
Yeah, since we're on that, we're actually hit. That's season three. Let's get to season three. Season three wasn't real. It wasn't real at all. Anything, they could
have. That season three was in Hope's head and she's just been in a coma this entire time.
It would make more sense.
They wanted, like, Brett, I gotta give you props, because how did you come into the writing room and say that this was a banger of the season?
They had everything in their hands.
You had everything. And you said, let's waste the whole season. Let's waste the whole season on two metaphorical Landons. Matter of fact, it's probably even more than that, actually. Let's waste a whole 16 episodes on a Landon that's not even real. Let's have this Landon tell Hope and Lizzie about how they're important. Let's have this Landon somehow help everybody save the school from these monsters. Let's have Landon and Landon somehow help Hope and Cleo fix themselves. Let's somehow help help save Cleo from the forest. Let's have Landon give everybody in the school some type of beef and somehow become a hizzy friendship therapist. And he's not even real. Oh, what? Okay. He's not real? Oh, he actually...
Not only was he not real, but how fucking cruel was that to Hope?
Exactly.
Twice. Like, I know this is a Landon video, but the Twice. Cruelty in that is...
And then they wanted us to, like, forgive Cleo. Like, that was so fucking mean.
They made Cleo a hypocrite. Because
Cleo got her happy.
She sat here and told Hope about, first of all, she mentioned about her trauma about losing her family, which is all basically over hundreds of years ago, and she's still talking about it, one, but told Hope that her 2-week dead boyfriend is a time-consuming thing. In the same breath, talked to Milo Landon about Leonardo da Vinci, who's been dead for like 200 years plus, not accessible overall, right? Cool. Somehow thought killing Hope and making her become a fourth tribe would somehow make Hope force herself to kill Malivore, as if Hope wouldn't make her main goal to kill you. Won't have Hope become the tribe, and then not know anything else. Then she gets free will. Cleo gets free reign just to stay back. Gets a whole episode of talking about how she's okay for almost killing Hope, while Hope still has Landon basically being possessed.
So what we learned from Legacies is that everyone else matters except for Hope and Landon.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, Landon died, technically, in the beginning of season 3. He is dead. Hope is grieving him, and no one fucking cares. Lizzie is more concerned about students coming to the school. MG, fuck MG, is more concerned about his year of Nell because, Alyssa's a giant bitch. Big deal. You made your bed. Now fucking lie in it.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, season 3 was everybody else everybody else having the shittiest takes, but are being validated because Hope is the big bad for some reason. They wanted to kind of gaslight us into thinking that Hope is, this is the worst the microsense ever been. How King Arthur loving. Yeah, they make it seem like this is the worst of Mikrosyn ever been in love with somebody. Like, as if grieving. The other Mikrosyn haven't done worse.
She's grieving, and Caleb tells her to pull it together. Pull it together.
Yeah, pull it together while he falls in love with
her. Hello, Caleb. You're talking to the girl who literally lost the love of her life. Meanwhile, you lost a girl that you knew for 2 weeks, and you fucking handed Hope over to the enemy.
Yeah.
Poor
and got a pass about...
You're I got a pass so. Over it. No one was mad at you.
Yeah.
They're mad at you for like half an episode. You know,
yeah. So they can go to hell. They can get a whole episode on themselves. Landon, we came into this season expecting Landon to somehow figure out his powers of being a phoenix. It was never touched. It was never touched.
Getting flashbacks from the prison ward never happened.
He accepted his dad taking over his body so he can save the world. And we never found out how that was able to happen. How long did the merge of him and Malivore was, how it coexisted, how long it happened. How long would it take for the bond to be severed to where Malivore leaves his body? No, we just have Hope and Layden have this whole magical day for him to die later that episode, have a time jump, and somehow Hope never reaches out to any of her aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews at this point to figure out a spell. She just sat there. She just sat there and let Cleo, who was, if anything, she's amused, but girl, you're literally a witch that was like, girl.
Her and Alaric searched for answers.
They searched for artifacts.
But not even that.
She had spells.
Even before that, we went from 301 where she woke up because Landon kissed her. She didn't want to wake up because she thought he was dead.
Backtrack.
302. We go to her wanting to lock him in a prison world and that stupid ass nonsensical fight on the fucking dock.
Oh yeah.
Or they and break
let's, up. Let's backtrack even further. 301. Landon was okay with dying to make sure the necromancer gets no powers.
And who was the reason Necromancer got powers in the first fucking place?
Who was going to walk?
Josie.
Who's going to walk through that damn thing and go to peace? Make sure, and you know, not even caring if Hope's going to be mad at him, not even caring if he's going to lose the love of his life and not live his life anymore. He wanted to make sure that they didn't get the magic. He's accepted death.
No, you know what? You know
and
what?
It's okay.
You know what? This, everything that happened is Josie's fault. Because Clark wouldn't have been able to take, get that power. Josie wouldn't have been dark or gone dark or whatever if she didn't get fucking jealous because she was jealous. She started using black magic because Clark, it's not even the fact that Clark, she could have been like, no, you know what? Like, yes, Vardimus, AKA Clark, was like, oh, you should do these magic spells with me. But Josie could have very easily said, no, thanks. Very easily. And oh yeah. No, it's her trauma. She was used. Bullshit. Bull fucking shit. You use yeah. that on Josie because why? Because you think she's some fucking princess? But meanwhile, no one else.
Yeah, Clark barely knew her, and somehow right? she was the perfect target.
But if
she how does that make sense?
Exactly. If she didn't have that black magic, she would have gone dark. The Necromancer never would have gotten that magic. All of those things, all of that domino effect, is because of fucking Josie, and because she was too jealous to she wasn't secure enough in her relationship with Landon. She never should have had in the first place. Which stems obviously from her pain, or like from the fact that she couldn't deal with the Penelope leaving. But that was her fault too.
But yeah,
everything stems from Josie. Josie's the real villain of this show.
Landon literally accepted dying.
Yeah.
And then 302, Hope once again recons again because she had the same discussion in 210. And it was suddenly closed in 211 because she gave him a letter, she told him how she felt. And then they were working as a team in 213, got retconned again. This is the second retcon to basically going back to 210 of, I'm a human now. First of all, he was okay with basically letting Rob have his powers just for a little bit. Again, basically ready to die for another student.
Yep.
And find out he was human again. And the he found out he's human. And instead of him experiencing that trauma of being human again, who do they make it about? Hope. They make it about Hope again. They make it about Hope and how she's going to lose him again and how protective she got to be and how she doesn't see him the same. How is Landon losing his power?
Even when he was talking to her in the school and he was like, that was what's special about me. She said nothing. She could have said, that is not what's special about you. Like, yeah, she thought he was human in 108. And yet she sat there that time thinking that when he said, oh, the Phoenix is the only part of me that's special, she could have said, Landon, that's not true. Like, Landon, like, it's you that, like, and nothing. She said nothing.
Yeah, she's gonna tell my son, that's not true. You know, I loved you before that. But,
because
girl, it don't seem like it.
Phoenix, because that meant that she would never lose him.
Yeah. And her finding that out that he was human, they still made it about her.
Which is again. Dumb. Because in the very first episode, in the pilot, she says, even immortal beings can find a way to die. So why are you sitting there feeling like the Phoenix is your fucking safety net?
Yeah. Once again, Landon's trauma of basically being back to square one and being back to where he was in season one doesn't even matter.
Like, and then they just brush past the whole fact that, oh, we broke up in the end of 302. And then they go into like the songs and she's treating him like garbage again. And she didn't even give the song a chance. She didn't even read the song to see what it was even about when he said, like, he went to her first to see if she would read it, to see if it was okay. And she took that paper and she tossed it on the ground. She didn't say anything to him.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that between these three seasons so far, every time they're at a point where they understand each other, that's when drama happens.
Yeah.
Season one, what, 5 to 8, they were okay getting together. They were fine, whatever. And then what happens? Landon, Roman comes, leading to him leaving the school, leading to him getting taken, leading to the memories rights. Season two, they get fine in like, what, 2-8 to 2-11, 2-12 onwards. He dies. They have a problem by him being weak. And then what? He gets stabbed. Season three, the beginning of season three, him and Hope, they already having problems. out of nowhere, if they just had a whole, we're good, we're a team, makes no sense. Every time they have to, at their point where they understand each other, he has to bring something to have them argue, something that has to have them separate. And every time it's due to him being, it's all always because of him, never her. She somehow always makes it about him. And the fact that it's the same consistent argument for three seasons, it makes no sense. And matter of fact, these first four episodes are still a part of season two, which means that she had the same argument twice within three episodes span. When she just said it didn't matter in 2:13, through three episodes later, she has the problem again. And that's before he even had powers. 2:10, he just had a resurrection, and she didn't care. So why? It's like they forgot season one. She didn't know that he was a phoenix. They made her personality, oh, you gotta be a phoenix for us to work. You gotta be a phoenix for us to work. No. 303, she literally takes her anger out on him the most, as if he's the one that made the play. The dude Puck came, made the play, and had him be the main director, and she was like, you gotta be the main villain. You gotta be the main villain. Like, be for real. Then she doesn't even check out the song. She doesn't give it a chance. She was just okay. And then she had to talk to a stranger about her dad because for some reason they just like keep making about her parents. And then she just goes sings the song. Her and Landon are finally at their peak. 304 happens, they're at their peak. He dies. Something had to happen.
Yeah, of course.
And within
that's what all, it is, because yeah, Landon could never be happy. Hope could never be happy.
And within all this, what happened? He never was able to express how Hope made him feel when she made it seem like he wasn't only useful when he was a phoenix. When she blamed him for making the play, she never got his feelings. Not even. He literally was okay with merging with his dad and was okay. Like, he was okay with saving the school and nothing else mattered. Like, whatever. That's only the first four episodes. The rest of the whole season, Brett.
Yeah, the first four episodes. Like, and then you have the rest of the season where he's stuck in a prison world that we don't even know about. His body exactly. was taken over by Malivore that we don't even know about. We never got any sort of background. We never got any sort of story. We never got any sort of trauma. We got nothing. It was just, I was taken over by Malivore. I'm now stuck in Malivore because I was in a prison world because my dad called me back into the prison world because I had to let him take over my body in order to defeat the Necromancer with dark magic. But you know what? Let's not touch on any of that because none of that matters.
Let the fandom carry them with so many theories, and they didn't touch any of them.
No.
Y'all are the worst writers.
They should have just listened to our podcast for theories.
Y'all are the worst writers in history. And honestly, I don't need to kiss their ass no more. Like, what are you going to do for me anymore? And I just want to tell y'all that y'all didn't understand the characters if they even had a fucking storyline in front of your faces. Because what possessed you to do two fake outs twice with the same character twice? Villainize the main character as if she for a reason that was violent. She had a reason to be able to express her trauma, but she villainized her and had everybody villainize her because of Landon can't, our student that sees her at the school shouldn't be saved because the monsters. Y'all can do a barrier spell, let the monster come in and kill the monster in one go. Like, y'all forget I can do barrier spells if the monster came out. Y'all forgot y'all got like 30,000 kids at the school. This is before the students even really left. But y'all sat here and did two fake outs.
And I thought for sure when Landon came back at like the skull monster or like the skull hunter or whatever came back, and we were getting that broody Landon, that we were finally getting PTSD Landon. We were finally getting something out of Landon, emotions like trauma, and then it turned out to be fucking Malivore.
And the thing about Malivore is that he's one of the most confusing monsters of all, because we don't know how was he able to know that. We thought that Landon and him shared minds because he knew certain things.
What's so stupid though, it seemed like they just like decided he was more powerful than he in season 3 and season 4 than he was in season 1. Like, it's like all of a sudden now he could control minds and he could do this and he can do that, and you know, he had gods, and you know, he and even gods were afraid of him and all of these things, And it was just like, why
he had gods who was a threat to Hope, but when Hope became a tribe, he just was weak.
Like, if he was so powerful, if he knew all these spells and he knew all this, why the fuck was he in a puddle in the first season and sending out monsters to get these like keys? And why the fuck in the second season is he sending out monsters to get Landon? Is he not all powerful? Because that's what you made him seem like in season 3 and season 4.
No, because the whole 2 seasons, even to the first 4 episodes of season 3, it was concluded that he can just make any monster come out. And when he was released until when he became Landon, all the monsters was out, right?
Yeah.
He didn't tell me that he has all these monsters in him, but yet he couldn't unleash any of them out. Instead, he just had Caleb Ethan go around and just get regular humans, but he couldn't just get out the animals and monsters he already swallowed.
But then also, in Landon's body, he's doing things that not a human can do, and yet there's no explanation to this. Like, it's still Landon's body. Landon's body is human. Why the fuck? If Landon's body is human, how is he able to do these things? You're taking over a human body. You're basically taking over a meat sack that's gonna fucking die, and yet you're acting like he's still a phoenix.
Yeah, super strength. He can open his mouth wide per hour to consume.
If Malivore could take over anyone he wanted, fuck would he take over a human body?
Yeah, Landon, who is not a phoenix anymore, which means he's not the perfect host. So if he knew that he wasn't going to have a chance to survive in Landon for that long, why did they keep him in that long for the final battle?
It's not even like he's his real son. Landon isn't made of mud. So what fucking human DNA does he have? It's not Malivore's. It's not like a blood thing. It's not like Malivore has blood. He's fucking mud. So why does he need Landon's body? Why did he not jump into Caleb's body or MG's body? You know, a body that's a little bit stronger.
Yeah, and they made it seem like Landon was, he had mud in him as a red herring of, oh, Hope is talking to him. But I'm like, how? So then we had to make theories about, okay, well, maybe it's because Malivore just took possession. So maybe he's still inside of him as like a mud. Didn't make sense. Was there chambers in Malivore? Because where was the monsters and how was it separated from Landon? Because Landon literally ended up stuck in a closet within his own mind. But somehow he was able to roam the school of other people's memories. So how did it work within a body?
It's like they forgot everything and then just like, oh, well, no one will remember. So let's just make up our own thing. Yeah,
Malivore has like 50 million hotels in his body, which is a human body. But yet, it makes sense. Landon does his whole speech and later about how he's going to find
a way. How does he have this portal inside of him while he's in Landon's body and they're sharing a mind, yet he can't see out of Malivore's mind, but Malivore can see into his? Like, Landon's just like this little teeny figure standing around in his mind. Like, how the fuck is he in a portal if he's in a body?
He doesn't know. And the thing is that in 401, he had a talk with Caleb and Alaric, and he never seen anything else. So how did he know she was a tribe as soon as 404 happened? So did Malivore communicate with him in his mind? Oh, she's a tribe? Did he know that?
Yeah, but then also Malivore was able to jump in and out of his own mind while he was still in Landon's body. Like, none of it makes sense. It's like, you think about like the travelers in the Vampire Diaries. They were in someone's body, but they weren't a fucking portal. You know, the other person's mind was still in their body, right? But they weren't, it was like they were still in, it was like having two people in your head. But it's like the traveler couldn't jump back and forth between their body and that body. Like, it's just, like Malivore.
Yeah, Malivore doesn't make sense. They only used him when it was convenient to things, because he could do things that didn't make sense in a human body. He had so many feats, such as all the monsters, supposedly gods, and he never used any of it. And then you sit here and make him the most useless fighter against Hope. She killed him in like 3 minutes.
For him to even want Landon's body after like they took away his powers.
Exactly.
He could have just left Landon alone.
And then they didn't even show how he survived in the prison.
No, they were so lazy. They were like, they didn't even show how he survived the prison world, how his dad took him over. Did his dad take him over right when he was called back? They didn't even explain why he fucking melted.
Nothing.
It was just like, people will get it. People will understand.
And there's no way that Malvo was able to just talk around and have other people. How did he get the gear? How did he learn how to do that?
Didn't Brett say before 301 started that all questions will be answered by 304?
Yeah.
And by 304, we just had more fucking questions.
404, I think. 404.
So I think it was 304 before he melted. But then it was also, there was those, and then there was also all the questions we had about the prison world and about his trauma and about how his dad took him over. And yet they didn't feel like that was an important enough story. Like here, they have made this entire story around Malvor and about Landon being a son, but yet it wasn't important enough for them to explain how he was taken over, why he lost his powers, how he did in the prison world, how, like, any of it. It wasn't important enough.
Yeah, Landon was somehow able to survive in the prison world. Don't know when he got possessed by a Malvor, because it took a while, because he was still human when he was fired with the necromancer. But somehow he was able to get bone gear from whatever monster, learn how to do powder dust to knock Cleo out, somehow have stealthing abilities, and yet we've never seen anything. Landon writing letters about how Landon's going to find his way home. Never did. It was still hope that got him home. You got everybody at the school being okay with letting Landon stay in the prison world for a month, while MG is once again doing a betrayal to Lissa, who doesn't care. Nope. You got Lizzie on and off, Mrs. I like MG. When I don't, you're lying.
Oh yeah. Let's get into that.
Yeah, let's get into. I'm gonna let him like. Yeah, I realize.
Let's let him suffer for another month. It's okay. He's like Cheese Whiz. MG, you know what? No, we have to come at this with a plan. Well, I don't know, MG. Maybe if you had said a fucking month ago that you had the Ascendant, they could have had a whole fucking month to plan. But no, you're a little bitch and had to hide it.
Yeah. You wasted time, and he's a human. He's not supernatural. He's a human. And y'all's going to leave him in here for a month while you literally worry about if you're going to get MG or not.
What pisses me off, too, is MG knew he had this Ascendant the entire time. He watched Hope grieve this entire time and then decided, because his girlfriend cheated on him, that he was going to have a year of no, and he was so hurt.
Yep. And then you got Lizzie's like, oh yeah, I know you're sad, but do you want to help us promote the school so we can get the smoothie bar that I love so dearly to my heart? Yeah, because you know how I feel. I lost Sebastian to being an anchor. Yeah, the ink that was about to turn you into a hybrid by without consent, right? That's Sebastian?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
No one wanted to rescue
him. Nobody cared at all. And what's even more funny is that technically this is also Eric's fault, because you were so happy to have him here in 108. We're gonna take you home to your home, your new home. And yet you couldn't help him get back to his home.
Didn't.
They kept talking about this artifact being so significant, this object, and Cleo was somehow not significant because she still ain't helped Landon get here. She just brought a fake Landon, which somehow had the real Landon, well, my Landon, piggyback off of it. So how was she the hope that we needed? And why was the artifact? They kept talking about this artifact and then having freaking, they made it into just introducing Cleo. They had Clark come and blow it up. How does that happen? How does that help with getting Landon back at all?
It doesn't. It's supposed to inspire you, or it's supposed to, like, well, Cleo obviously didn't grant wishes. She wasn't a fucking genie. So it wasn't a wish granter. It was like you get inspired. But like, why did it open for Hope? And that has nothing to do with Landon. Anyways, but like, it's like no one fucking cared. No one cared. Once they found out Landon was alive, it was like, you know what? Pass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And let Hope be like the main villain. And let her try to save the school because Alaric couldn't afford it.
And then people are getting mad at Hope for having Lizzie and Josie do this spell, not knowing what it would do. Hope had no idea. Meanwhile, they criticize Hope in 308, but yet they have no problems with Hope or with Josie or Lizzie doing this for anyone else.
Yeah, and what's funny though is that like they're so quick to not save Landon, but in season two, Hope didn't waste no day. She didn't go to sleep. She stayed up day and night to get them from the prison world where they all had magic and could defend themselves, but they were okay with leaving a human in the prison world for a month.
Yeah.
How about Hope exactly. Waiting a month to take y'all out?
Hope bent over backwards to get Lizzie and Josie and Alaric back, and no one batted a fucking eye. Everyone was there to help. Yet then she's trying to get Landon back, and everyone's just like, you know what? It's better off if he just stays in there.
Yeah. Trash. Now, let's save the best one for last. Season four.
Oh God.
Beginning
of season four, Alaric and Caleb knew Landon was fucking trapped in there. Landon was once again willing to sacrifice himself for the better of everyone else. And what does Caleb do? He fucking lies.
Yeah. Him and MG are the besties. And somehow Landon told Caleb that he was able to help with Ken fighting and he did nothing but stand there. Alaric and
season Caleb, four was like a mess.
It was a mess because the only thing that could save it was Trevor Hope. And that didn't even save it that much now. And I'm looking at it.
No, that's going to be a whole a Hope rant, because I could rant about fucking Tribert. I love Tribert Hope, but like I also didn't like Tribert Hope because of the way they fucking wrote her.
He had literally no development. Let's be serious.
Yeah.
But like Landon in season four, he bent over backwards for every other person. Every other person. He doesn't get to go to peace because he's helping Ted. He doesn't get to go to peace because Alaric's a piece of shit. He doesn't go to peace because he's being everyone's fucking therapist, including to his mom and everyone else under the fucking...
Yeah,
all the monsters get forgiveness. But you know what? We don't get a happy ending with him.
He became a therapist to 40-year-old men, Alaric and Ted. And he's like 18, 19, giving a speech to them about how they should be relaxed and help come together. Because just like him and Rob, they worked as a team. You had to, like, they just brought that up, mentioning his brother who was dead, and he didn't show any like kind of remorse or sadness in his face when he brought up Ralph. Nothing. First of all, we didn't even see Landon really talk about Ralph at all. Actually, let's go back to season three for a second. He literally lost Ralph. He lost Ralph, and they made it about Hope. They made it about Hope. That was a quick back, but they made it about Hope, which is why the 302 fight was dumb. Anyways, Landon becomes a therapist to help everybody else get a coin. He kept giving everybody else coins. And somehow we got this big development of, oh, these reasons why he's staying and helping people get to peace is because he's the new ferryman. How was that even developed? How was Landon becoming a ferryman even developed when the whole time he was trying to leave Limbo?
Yeah.
He wanted to leave Limbo. And yet everybody's like, it's so developed. Lynn somehow was just watching was the perfect reason as a ferryman, when yet he didn't even want to stay there at all. He found out what Hope was doing. Was like, okay, let's get back.
And then Lynn was just selfish enough to fucking trap him there because, you know, she was tired.
Yeah, and then don't even get me started on God's being the dumbest storyline they ever made. Dumb thing. I just this whole season, no one cared about Landon. You thought season two was worse? No. You got Wade not really caring about Landon, but he's mentioning D&D. Like, that's how he knew Landon was safe, because of D&D. You got everybody talking about how whole humanity is off, and then figured out that was Landon, as if the only person
that
died.
No one fucking realized it's because
no one figured it out, except for
Landon's Clayton. Dead, and Hope's humanity is off, but I wonder why her humanity is off.
Yeah, I wonder.
There's no correlation between Landon being dead, not at all.
Yeah. Only Cleo knew, and Cleo talked to Landon for 4 minutes.
Like, first thing is, like, Hope literally didn't want nobody after her. She literally just wanted her. Just want to be gone because Landon wasn't there anymore.
She wanted to be alone.
And then everyone, she wanted to be alone.
And everybody else wanted to kill her.
Everyone was after her. And then they were like, oh, you killed my dad.
But yet, Josie was literally enemy number one. They just was chilling in the school waiting for her to float back inside. Okay, interesting. Let's talk about how you know, once again, we already kind of talked about him being accepting death again with dying in Malivore, in 404, and he just accepted it easily. Still helped Hope reassure her, even though this is his death, he's still reassuring her on his deathbed before getting stabbed. Once again, no trauma for that, nothing. He just was like, cool, kill me.
And he just so selflessly is like, you have to kill me.
Yeah. And then for him, and then, you know, him talking to Lyric about how, you know, he's experienced worse things, so it's okay for him to be stuck in Malivore while she kills him. It's okay, I've experienced worse. While he was stuck in one of his trauma places, which was a tiny space in his own brain. But that's okay. It's as if they forgot that they told us about that, the small spaces. Let's talk about how they literally didn't even care about Landon anyways, because Ethan moved right into his house, I mean, to his room. We don't even know if Landon Close was gone. They didn't even bury him. He got buried off screen. Haven't seen anybody mention him. Haven't even seen anybody go and visit his burial.
And they had like, one stupid line on
We didn't even know how long it took for them to get Landon. We didn't even know how they found Landon. Nothing. We just were watching everybody go on Dr. Kill Hope Little.
We're all trying to figure out, like, Landon's body is at the train yard. Landon's body, like, are you not going to go? There's no funeral. There's no nothing. No one fucking talks about him. It's like he doesn't fucking exist. It's like he jumped into Malivore and was wiped from everyone's mind because no one fucking talked about him.
Yeah, and let's talk about how Landon gets gaslit for the last, like, 6 episodes, but because he's such a compassionate, kind soul, and he can see the best in everybody. Girl, please, you've seen how many people moonwalking in limbo? And you chose Landon, who wanted to leave since he got on that, got on the planes. Landon has this kind of soul.
She punished him for being a good person. She found a willing soul to take over her job, and she tricked him and she punished him. And then she said, she explained the story knowing he's a bleeding heart, knowing the kind of person he is, knowing that if his friends were going to die, he was going to bring them back, and that he was going to lose a part of his soul. But you know what? It doesn't matter because it's Landon. Who the fuck cares if he loses his soul? Who cares?
Yeah. 416 and 417, he finally meets his mom and gets the closing point. And what did he do? Become a therapist to help soothe her soul while she goes to peace. Doesn't cry.
And then sits there and says he's okay with it.
He's okay. Well, he's okay with staying, he said. As if 2 episodes ago, he wasn't trying to get a contract to get out. He was okay. Didn't get a chance to cry. Didn't get a chance to mourn. Hope came. He was literally having fun. Accepted killing her, anybody killed about to cry, and nothing came. No trauma whatsoever. Which was a constant theme, no trauma. He can't cry, he can't smile, he can't do anything. They let Ethan get a memorial because he saved one of the Saltzman kids, but Landon literally had Jed and Caleb come back to life during this battle. And they did nothing to the fight.
They did fuck all. They stood there and watched Cleo fucking destroy Ken. Fuck all. And they all got their happy endings.
And Landon lost his soul because he lost his emotions, because since Ken's curse is gone, nature has to find a balance. Just like how nature found a balance until Hope decided to do a spell on a tree. So if she never did the tree, she wouldn't have never got balance. So how would it have worked if she didn't do it? Because now nature finds balance somehow.
And the tree somehow happened to be a Josie and Lizzie thing too.
Yeah. And how did nature not find the balance to, I don't know, find a way to get Landon back to being a phoenix? Why did it not find a way for him to get his emotions back? Okay, cool.
Landon was just treated poorly throughout the entire show. He was just, and especially in season 4.
Yep. And once again, he gets a new power, and we don't know what it is. We just know that he can send people to peace and bring who back. Just like how he was a fiend, and he can bring himself back. Now he can bring everybody else back.
He can jump back and forth to the real world. But oh, how convenient that he can do that. He has that power to jump back and forth to the real world. He has a way to get back to Hope, but conveniently,
no emotions.
He doesn't have any emotions.
Right. Also, he becomes an alcoholic.
Yes. Every damn episode, he was drinking.
Every episode, he was drinking. But he loves.
But no, Brad said that that was what made sense for him.
But he's happy here.
Yeah.
But he's happy. That's the thing, guys. He's happy.
He's happy.
He's happy being in limbo, away from everyone that he loves, away from his so-called friends, away from hope. But he's happy.
He's happy. And the only thing he is a therapist, which he's always been. He's been a therapist to Hope. He's been a therapist to Josie. He's been a therapist to Lizzie. He's been a therapist to Alaric for not feeling guilty. He's been a therapist for everybody, even his mom. He even went extra step and probably even more destroyed his no emotions by letting Hope see her dad. Hope didn't even really ask. Hope didn't really ask him how he felt being in limbo as a god. She just said, "Hey, can you come here real quick to get my father, who I've been talking
when
to
he, for when he did four say, seasons?" She did say that she wasn't. She didn't want him to do it afterwards. But of course, she already asked him. So
yeah, you already asked him, girl.
Yeah,
like Jesus Christ.
But she didn't know the consequences.
No, she didn't know. Well, she didn't know. And the minute it's funny because the minute she found out the consequences, she was like, "No, don't do that. I don't want you to lose yourself or any more of yourself." Meanwhile, MG and Caleb are all like, "Okay, yeah, do it."
Yeah, Caleb literally scrolled down to the bar, don't know how he found Landon, and was like, "Don't know what you're going to do."
Apparently, everyone fucking knew Landon was in limbo except for Hope.
Yeah.
No one wanted to tell her.
No one told her.
That was so shitty.
Mm-hmm. And once again, he did say at the school. Twice, 304, 404, and also in 418, or 419, whatever the battle was. Does it matter? No, because no one even recognizes it. But, you know, of course, we wanted to make sure to leave only Landon Kirby's storyline open for season 5, because he's a god now, but everybody else has a good ending, except for Hope and Landon. Because Landon was going to be a god, and he's going to be dealing with Kronos.
I get that they wanted to parallel, like, Hope had no humanity this season. They wanted to parallel Landon having basically no humanity.
Well, why not?
They always parallel Hope and Landon. But the thing is they knew that it was possibly going to be done. They could have done so much. They could have pulled a fucking Lucifer.
They sat here and knew that they possibly wouldn't get a season 5. And they still gave us this trash ending talking about some. Everything has come to a perfect close. When is Hope still stuck at the school and she's basically 25 at this point, pushing 30, being sarcastic. She's 20 now, still in a school uniform after she hasn't been wearing it for the whole season. Back in a school uniform, recruiting in 10-year-olds while she's out here floating with a red oak tree pin in her school, but somehow she has to send the biggest, the most powerful weapon to Belgium. And now Landon just helps Hope blow ashes and goes back down there. And we were supposed to believe that in season 5, they were going to blow like the wind. You think after not giving Landon a storyline for 4 seasons, you pick the last season that you might not even got to want to explore him now?
They knew at the beginning that it was possibly going to be that last season.
And they wanted to wait for him. They picked him as a last resort.
Yeah, and I understand that they created an ending that could move into season 5 if they were lucky, but they all decided to go with the ending that they did, knowing it was going to be the end. And
the thing is, that doesn't make sense because it can open into season 5. How? When everybody had a literal good ending,
Hope and Landon.
So like, Hope, she can't do any more storylines. What can she do? She already did Tribe of Hope, and all they can do now is have her go back to her season 3 in 2 Rocks when she's trying to get back, stay on and save Landon, trying to help Landon.
Or she goes, Danielle said something about going to college.
Yeah, going to college.
The thing is once she finds out that Landon, season 5 would have focused a lot on Landon and getting his emotions back. But the thing is, it's like,
everybody's doing their own thing, so who's going to help?
Yeah, exactly. No one fucking cares about Landon anyways. Everyone has their happy endings. Even Hope has a mediocre ending. But Landon is stuck in fucking limbo alone.
Drinking and holding a picture.
Like, yeah, he's immortal now, but at what cost?
Like, literally, what caused?
If that was what you wanted to get to all along.
And how did you go from him being a phoenix to him being God? And it wasn't like he earned the God status.
There's not even any explanation.
It wasn't like he earned the God status. He just got gaslit into accepting it.
Yeah. If he just wasn't supposed to.
And then, once again, he had his powers for one day and already did the biggest rule breaker.
He's like, you know what's stupid about that, though? Is that was a curse. That was Lynn's curse. But the thing is, the moment Ken died, that curse would have been lifted unless Ken didn't fully die. And then, of course, that curse would still be in effect. But there should have also been that boon. Whoever destroyed Malivore gets the fucking boon from Ken. And no one touched on that. Ken was talking about, that has to be to someone worthy, blah, blah, blah. Well, was that you leading up to the fact that possibly could have been Lennon? The thing is you could have done that at the end of the season to finish the series off in that way. Like, you defeated Malivore. Okay, you get the boon. Lennon comes back and you guys, but no. They had to keep Lennon in limbo.
If this is how it was supposed to be, how long, they should have let Lennon be dead when she killed him on 4-4 and use him as her humanity. And when she got her humanity back, he simply just be gone from the show because it would be
it would have made more sense.
Ending for him than what they did.
Yeah, and the thing is that they kept making it seem like he was her humanity, but it didn't even feel like it after some point.
Exactly.
They ruined the humanity storyline. They ruined it. They didn't give her any sort of like nothing. It was like, she did this little spell and everything was fine.
The fucking butterfly, no words.
Yes, she did a spell and didn't even care that she killed that man like one day ago.
No.
She didn't care that she beat up.
I just realized that we're gonna have to make a Hope podcast.
To make a Hope podcast episode. We need a Hope rant episode because there's so many things in there that I could talk about Hope too. But with Landon, Landon was the worst treat. Like Landon and Hope were the worst treated characters. Landon, maybe a little bit more because they basically just brushed aside everything that had to do with Landon so they could focus on everyone else.
Yeah, and mostly Hope. He got brushed aside for Hope, and Hope got brushed aside for everybody else. Hope main storyline for the whole four seasons was my dad is dead. I'm just sad. Landon's storyline was, hey, how can I help somebody else while dying?
You have those people who are like, Hope's whole storyline is about Landon. This show is supposed to be Hope's show. Well, actually, yes, it is supposed to be Hope's show. Landon is the love of her life. So yeah, it would make sense that he's very much a part of her story. But really what it was is the show was focused on every fucking person except for Hope and Landon when it's Hope's show.
Yeah. Everybody else got a good ending, but her. You know, and I've never wanted to agree with locals, but I agree. This show was a disgrace. This show was a disgrace for the Vampire universe.
Caleb gets a fucking happy ending. Caleb, who betrayed Hope, who gave her body to Malivore because of a crush for 18 days.
He still didn't even like her. He still didn't even work with her when she, in 414, whatever, when he said that he would not stand by her even if he meant that she died.
Yeah.
They never apologized. She still didn't trust him because she didn't even like him in the therapy box thing when they did a little battle thing. So she still hasn't acknowledged this man.
And yet he gets a happy ending.
Yeah, he gets a happy ending with a girl who didn't even like him 5 minutes ago. And literally,
he gets a happy ending. It took him dying. And they get all the fucking hand in.
It took him dying for her to say what she liked about him. And it was, of course, the eyes.
Meanwhile, Hope has mentioned Landon's eyes how many times? They're fucking hand in fight. That's what they are. It's like Brett couldn't get away with Hannah because everyone was fucking bitching about it, so he just gave it to Cleo and Caleb.
Everybody kept talking about it, especially with Lizzie. And then, we've got to play guitar, got to write music, got to sing, got to people to blast. Why would you mention everything about a guy that you trash every day? The one that you didn't even want to help save. But yeah, you're mentioning everything about him.
Because the whiny little babies complained that Hope was not with whoever it is that they wanted. And so they complained about Hope and Landon. So the writers were like, we're going to give all the Hope and Landon scenes, or we're going to recycle all of these scenes and give them to Cleo and Caleb because they can't say anything about them because they're two people of color.
Yeah. This show was a disgrace. And to be honest, we can actually do a video of just the show, not even just Landon, and show you how trash this show was. Because to a degree, if I don't think I would do a rewatch. No, I probably would watch
Hands in the Hot Seat. It's funny because I did love the show, and I do still love the show. It's a good, like, but I haven't rewatched it since it ended. We met because of this show.
It just, like, you had hope that it would fix itself, but you realize that all the stuff makes no sense.
It is. And now that you're out of the bubble of the show, now that the show is over and there's no more of it, you realize how much better it could have been.
Yeah. And when you get introduced to other shows like the Vampire Academy, mm-hmm. you watch Buffy, you watch...
You know what? Honestly...
You watch The Vampire Diaries, you watch the original...
Season one of Legacies was actually really good. And the downfall was when Julie left. And I'm sorry, but maybe Julie should have just stayed. It would have been a better show.
Yeah. Yeah, she did a little couple mess ups in season two. But what she's doing in Vampire Academy season one, it only has...
If she was the showrunner versus Brett, I think we would have had a very, very different show.
We only touched 7 episodes of season one. And it's hitting things way better than 4 seasons of Legacy did.
Yeah.
Because they wanted
but
to
then,
make, they wanted but, to make the show so different from the Vampire Diaries universe that to a point it didn't make sense. Crossover didn't feel deserved. You know, Klausen and popping
up. Vampire Diaries and the originals were so well done. And Julie was at the helm of both of those. And then you look at Legacies, Julie was at the helm for 1 season, which was really good. And then she wasn't there for 2, 3, and 4. And look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, she was responsible for season 2, damn it.
I think she was like half a season 2, right?
No, she was the one that wanted all the cameos, and that was what ruined season 2.
Oh, yeah. Because she fed into all of the shipper wars, and
season 2 was so bad.
But also, she changed it last minute just for.
And she changed it last minute so that they could get the Kai storyline.
Was bad too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was our rant for Landon. I'll be doing season 4 at some point. Well, if you want a Hope one, let us know. If you want us to do a season 1-4 rant, we can do that too. And let us know your opinions about Landon. How did you feel about the storylines? How did you feel about the situation that they handled? In the comment section down below. You can see my podcast and other apps such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, the Google Podcast. You can do it on YouTube. Also, you can do it on the Anchor app as well. Social media is the link. So you talk to us about the episode, ask us for recommendations, and see what we do and post outside of just YouTube. And until next time, y'all.